to welcome you. Come on back into the auditorium. And just by way of information, we'll remind you, Arthur is a microbiologist. Did that for his career, worked several years at Mayo Clinic, also worked for the government in various capacities. And this particular lecture this morning, 30-minute presentation, again, it is not medical advice. Let me just underscore that. It's not giving medical advice. It's just simply education on what is taking place. And I'm sure that you'll benefit from this information. So let's give Walter, or hit Arthur a hand this morning. Thank you, Arthur.
Okay. So this is, I don't have the beautiful color slides that I usually have at Science Museum, because this is 4 days of work. And I don't have time for questions, because we're going to stop exactly at 12:30 so Jim can practice with the group. That's very important. But I'll make my email address available, and you can email me your question. Now, if you have a question about the content, email me. But if you, I'm not an authority on all these various theories, conspiracy theories that are going around, and also don't ask me what if questions. Those are my standard disclaimers at the Science Museum, because I don't know. Yeah. So, to begin with, I have never worked with coronavirus. Now, I have worked with viruses. I have worked with the test that is currently being used to diagnose coronavirus in all of the states in the United States and in China. I have worked with that test. But I have never worked with the virus itself. And the man who created the test was my boss at Mayo Clinic. Okay. So the difference between a virus and a bacteria is that a bacteria has a cell wall and can live outside of a cell. Used to be 10, 15 years ago, people in the old school said, anything that doctors can't diagnose, they call it viruses. No, not anymore. Virus has to live inside a living cell. A virus has to live inside a living cell, and there are specific names. We can see viruses under the electron microscope, and they cannot live outside of a cell. No, we all have good, harmless bacteria and viruses living in our bodies. Okay. So there is a group of viruses called the retroviruses. And the retroviruses live usually in monkeys. And the retroviruses never crossed over to causing human infection. Never. There is not a single case of a retrovirus crossing over until the sexual revolution of the 60s. At the height of the sexual revolution of the 60s, where we had Woodstock and all of that, the sexual revolution of the 60s was everybody was having sex with everybody else and everything else. Okay, that was the norm. So you had Woodstock and all of that. At the height of that, the retroviruses crossed over into humans. And you had the very first case of HIV. Very first case, documented case of HIV, where a young person who was involved in all this stuff, he died of unexplained causes. His body organs were frozen. And later on, we went and cultured his organs, and it was HIV. So now we have HIV, HIV-1, HIV-2, and possibly HIV-3. So the coronaviruses really were a good group of viruses. They didn't really cause a lot of problems. And there is a group of coronavirus that does cause infections. But they infected bats, they infected cows, they infected camels. Didn't really cross over to human beings. So last fall, and then there are a lot of harmless coronaviruses. In fact, if you have had a good a cold, there's a good chance that a harmless coronavirus caused that cold. So these are harmless coronaviruses. Okay. So last fall, something happened in Wuhan, China, in Hebei province, which is about 11 million people, and in a meat market, an exotic meat market. And in that, what happened, this group of coronaviruses that have never crossed over into humans, a change took place, and those viruses started causing problems in humans. Now, this was in the fall, and the Chinese government has to take the blame for trying to keep this secret because their image would be damaged. So the Chinese government did everything that they could to keep this quiet. And this is the reason why so many people died in China. Of course, the virus was very virulent, started causing a lot of problems, and the Chinese government appealed to the WHO and appealed to lots of agencies, health agencies and all, keep this quiet, keep this under wraps, don't let this get out. We don't want our image and our trade with the free world to be affected. Well, it got out and started causing major problems, and then the Chinese government appealed to WHO, appealed to the CDC and international community and said, we need help. We can't handle this by ourselves. So, this happened last fall, and last week, Amazon Corporation imposed a total ban, 100% of all products coming from China. And if you order something from Amazon today, and a computer, a book, or something, and a piece of clothing, and you get it, it didn't come straight from China. It came from Amazon's warehouses, I believe in Kentucky. They have a huge warehouse where this is packed with clothing, computers, computer parts, all of these things. So that part or that computer or that piece of clothing came from the warehouse. But as of those ships bringing things from China, 100% banned. And this was announced to us last week at the Amazon place that I work at in Ashland. 100% banned until further notice. So, the coronaviruses that infect people, there's seven different kinds. And what I did was I made a sheet here. And like I said, I don't have exotic slides, but I'm going to pass this around. George, you can have a look at it and pass it around. So it's seven kinds of coronavirus, 229E alpha coronavirus, NL63 is an alpha coronavirus, OC43 is a beta coronavirus, HKUL, also a beta coronavirus, then MERS, a beta coronavirus that causes Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome, and then SARS-CoV, a beta coronavirus that causes severe acute respiratory syndrome, and then of course the novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, that causes coronavirus disease, which is now known as COVID-19. So from this point on, we're an educated, informed group of people here. We'll refer to this not as coronavirus, because that is inaccurate information. We're going to refer to this as COVID-19. Okay. As of John, this information is from Dr. Mayo Clinic. Johns Hopkins website is the best website in that I have ever seen. Beautiful graphics, and this website is updated every hour. Every hour, information all over the world. Wow. It appears on this website in form of a little red dot. And if you are a serious student of coronavirus, COVID-19, go to the Johns Hopkins website, and you'll get your money's worth. They have everything about this. So, as of Saturday morning, total cases 102,469, total deaths 3,491. This is worldwide. Total recovered 57,444. And in the US, 338 infected, deaths 12, and this is as of Saturday morning again, and none in Virginia. This is the truth. The State Department, the Health Department is well prepared to handle this 24/7, zero cases in Virginia. So, the CDC recommendation is for isolation until the patient is no longer a risk. Now, the symptoms of COVID-19 infection are fatigue, dry cough, and fever. There's nothing unique about the fever. People who have ordinary head colds should not be running to the health department and asking to be tested for coronavirus. You'd be wasting your time and their time. It has to be accompanied by fever. Once the person is tested, and the incubation period is 2 weeks, you are free of the fever, you have no symptoms and no cough, and the patient has been tested negative, the infection, you cannot get reinfected. Although there was one report from a couple of Chinese doctors who said that there were a few people who had got reinfected. That has not been proven by Anthony Fauci, Johns Hopkins, CDC people. That has not been documented, that reinfection took place. The people who get infected or go into their own quarantine or else government-enforced quarantine and recover from coronavirus, no side effects, no detrimental effects infecting the rest of their lives. Zero. The median age is 59 years, median age of a patient who gets infected. And generally, what they have found is that one patient will infect two people. One patient will infect two people. Here's something that is interesting that will really blow your mind. Of all these cases, all these people in Iran, in Iraq, in Iraq, I don't know, but France, Singapore, South Korea, there is not one case of a child who has been infected with COVID-19. Not one case. Wow. And this information is current. I got it from the most prestigious, most respected, most prestigious news journal in the world, the New England Journal of Medicine, which put out a publication, news release on Friday. Not one case of a child that has been infected with COVID-19. So, how do we know for sure that these cases in Iran, in Italy, in the US, in Britain, is the same COVID-19? The reason we know is that the genomic structure is identical. The pattern of behavior of this virus, whether it is in wherever, South Korea, the outbreak, is identical. Identical DNA, that's the genomic structure, that's the nucleic acid structure, identical. So these people, these are not fools, people like Anthony Fauci and the people at CDC, people at Johns Hopkins, they are monitoring this and working around the clock, so the information is highly accurate. COVID-19 can survive only 2 hours. 2 hours is max, usually 1 hour on a dry surface, and up to 9 hours on a moisture droplet. Moisture droplet is you cough or you sneeze and you put out, 10,000 to 100,000 droplets into the air, so it can survive up to 9 hours in a droplet of moisture. So the people who get infected come in contact with those droplets. And the death rate is 2.8% for males and 1.7% for females. Somehow, males are at greater risk for this than females. Okay. If you are a student of serious coronavirus, COVID-19 infections, there's two important words to remember. One is the word pathogenicity, and the other is virulence. Okay, the pathogenicity is the ability of the organism to cause disease. Again, it's the ability of the organism to cause disease. Virulence is the degree of disease caused by the organism. Virulence is the degree of disease caused by the organism. So, of the three, COVID-19, SARS, SARS and MERS, Middle Eastern virus, had a death rate of 30% of those infected. SARS had about 20%, and this is quite a bit lower so far. Is the statistic says 2.8% for males. Okay, so what does the virus do to cause disease? Okay, so the average age is 56 or 59, I think, 59 years of a person who's infected. So the immune system has definitely influence here, and not influence, major influence in fighting off the virus. And right now in China, the virus is under control. The COVID-19 virus is under control. They built two gigantic hospitals in less than 1 week, David. Less than 1 week. Two gigantic hospitals. And they forced the communist countries, so they went house to house in Wuhan and Hebei province, the military and the police, and force tested people for temperatures, took temperatures, and forced them into quarantine. Of course, we can't do those kind of things in this country. The lawsuits. But that is what the Chinese government did. And so they're whether these radical things will work in the free world, I don't know. But that's what they did, and as a result, drastic drop in new infections. Those two hospitals hardly have any patients currently. So the rate of recovery in China itself is way higher than the rate of new infections. So, virulence and pathogenicity. So what does this virus do that causes this disease? First, it's in the air, coughing, sneezing, people with high temperatures. And I said, one, they have found that one person infects two people. So it attaches, the first thing it does is it attaches to the respiratory epithelium. Respiratory epithelium is our throats, our bronchs, you know, it attaches. Then there's a process in science we call phagocytosis. That means the virus will enter the cells. The virus will enter the cells, force itself to enter the cells, and then it transfers its nucleic acid, its DNA, its RNA into the cell. Now, you take a blade and scrape your hand, you have cells, right? Or you have cells, and each of those cells is a tiny thread that is 1 yard long. It's your DNA, and on the DNA is recorded your mom's characteristics, your dad's characteristics, your long legs, short hands, all that information is recorded on the thread. So each of the cells in our body has a certain function. So what does the pancreas do? It produces enough insulin, you know, to combat your sugar levels. So those cells have a particular function. The pancreas has to produce those cells, has to produce that insulin. Each of the cells in the liver, in the kidney, in the heart, has a certain function. So what this virus does is that it goes, it uses, at first it attaches, then it uses this thing called phagocytosis, and the cell, it goes into the cell, then it transfers its DNA and RNA into that cell, and it uses the cellular material of the cell to produce millions and millions and millions of copies. Very much like HIV. Very much like HIV. So it produces millions and millions and millions of copies. Next thing you know, it sheds. The cell breaks up. Now, the cell was supposed to, the pancreas was supposed to produce the insulin. The insulin production stops, and the cell has been pirated by this virus. The cell has been completely pirated. It's producing millions and millions of copies of the virus and not the insulin. So you get what happens? Organ failure. When you have organ failure, is the death spiral downward to cause a fatality. So 100% of these people who are cardiovascular disease, cancer, hemophilia, who are on severe immunosuppressive drugs, those are the prime risk for organ failure from COVID-19. Okay. You understand the principle of pathogenicity and virulence, right? Mm-hmm. So the test, they used a test. When the Chinese government appealed to WHO and the CDC and said, we have a situation we can't control, then all of a sudden, these publications started coming out of China, and I have half a dozen of them, started coming out of China saying, you know, describing the virus, describing these patients, describing the physiology, the biochemistry, all of that. Then when they appeal for help, two companies produced, the CDC came up with a polymerase chain reaction, PCR reaction test for COVID-19 that wasn't very successful at the beginning, but they refined it later on. The company that makes The company that makes the PCR test, the polymerase chain reaction, that's the name of the test that that is used to, and you get a positive reaction in a very short time, less than an hour, is QIAGEN and Sherlock Biosciences. Sherlock Biosciences is based in Germany. QIAGEN is based on the West Coast. And the person who developed the test at QIAGEN is Dr. David Persing, who was MD, PhD, who was my boss at Mayo Clinic. So very good sensitivity, very good specificity, highly accurate. So disinfectants. Jackie and I had a good conversation about this. The WHO recommended disinfectants have to have 60% alcohol, 60% or higher. And also the other disinfectant is 10% bleach. Okay, this is the disinfectant that is used in surgical suites, major surgeries, surgical suites, and the amount of alcohol is clearly marked on the container. Now, some companies that are marketing products have got into trouble with the FDA for making false claims, and they have been warned by the FDA for making false claims, and their alcohol content is nowhere on the label, and never have been able to provide the FDA with concrete data with the alcohol content in their product. So, free country, right? So, happening the way it always does, marketing. So, the other thing that kills coronavirus very quickly is 10% bleach. That, don't use straight household bleach. 10% bleach is one part of household bleach that you buy in the grocery store, and mixed with 9 parts of water. 1 part of household bleach mixed with 9 parts of water is 10%. So in 10 minutes, it will completely destroy this virus. So I'm well within my time. So the interesting thing is in China, downward slope. Recovery rate is much higher than the new infections. And in Virginia, zero as of yesterday morning. So what the CDC, WHO want is people to go about living their normal lives, use common sense techniques, and repeatedly in New England Journal of Medicine and several other sources that I have read, it says the pattern of SARS, the pattern of MERS, Middle Eastern Respiratory Virus, as the temperatures warmed, the incidence gradually went down. So they are hoping that as the temperatures warm in China and all the United States and all over the world, that the incidence of COVID-19 will also go down. So I have time for maybe 2 questions and then we'll stop. Rex, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I've heard, and we've all probably heard, 2 causes for this transfer in Wuhan between animals and humans. One is that a lot of the people eat bats. Is that accurate?
Yes.
And could that be one of the primary reasons?
It is.
The other thing that I have heard, and maybe others, is that it started as an experiment in the Chinese government and it got out of hand.
That is hogwash.
That's what.
That is baloney. That has been checked, verified. There is a small virus lab in Wuhan. Wuhan is an academic university community. There is a small virus lab. This virus lab is totally incapable of producing anything as exotic as that. Those are the conspiracy theories. But it is true that the exotic food market in Wuhan, where SARS started, is the same exotic food market. It was traced. And they have ways of tracing the origins of these from the DNA. It came from there, and that market has been shut down now by the Chinese government. But
are there other things other than that that are similar and work in the same way?
Exotic, this market is known for selling exotic meats of, and the people of Wuhan apparently consume these, you know, snake, but bad camel.
Okay, David,
do you have a question?
Thank you.
Well, I don't. Brenda texted me a question. She asked, what's the difference between this and influenza?
It's two different kinds of virus. It's completely different kinds of virus. This COVID-19 has a certain unique pattern of infection, but it's two different kinds of viruses causing two different kinds of disease. We have one more question, Judy, and then we'll stop.
You see people wearing masks, and you were told to wash hands. Are these things helpful in preventing it?
Washing hands is good. Wearing masks doesn't do anything to protect yourself, unless you're wearing a $100 HEPA filter mask that is fitted for your face. It'll protect you, but the mask that you buy in Home Depot and Lowe's, you satisfy yourself. It doesn't do anything to prevent you from COVID-19. Thank you for your time.